Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to another episode of A to Z Sports Live. I'm your host, Adam. I'm joined by Zach Shapiro and Umar Khan. Got a fun show for you this evening.
Yeah.
You know what time it is. What time of the year it is, Zach? What time?
It's March Madness time, Adam. It's crazy.
It is. It's a little the eve before the craziness begins. Tomorrow, obviously, is when the Field of 64 begins to play. They did have the first four, which is I'm not a huge fan of that. We'll get into that a little bit later on. So we're going to bring a little bit of college basketball input. We'll also reveal our brackets and our sleepers. We'll talk a little NBA with you guys, because you know the NBA is one of our favorite sports. Maybe a little football offseason. Jets making moves. Giants, not as much, but you know they're still making some transactions. So
plugging away.
A little bit of baseball spring training action, including some breaking news on the injury front for the New York Mets, and a little bit of hockey. So
30 minutes.
We'll try our best. All right. So let's start at the top. A little college basketball. It is March after all. We got to do a little bit of March Madness. All the shows are doing it, so I'm pretty much obligated to talk a little March Madness. Not going to lie, one of the most entertaining times of the year in terms of sports and sports entertainment. Obviously, you got the number one seed, Kentucky, which pretty much, I'd say, at least half the country is picking a winner all at this point. And rightfully so, they are probably one of the most dominant college basketball teams in the past decade. Undefeated, obviously, during the regular season, made easy work of the SEC. And clearly the favorites. So I think the best way to do this is to break it down by region. So let's go through the brackets here. We'll start in Kentucky's bracket, which is the
Midwest.
The Midwest, obviously, Kentucky.
Yes.
Midwest. So let's Kentucky. Obviously, we're not going to waste time with like 1 versus 16 in that region. Kentucky, right? You know, Kentucky there.
Yes.
The next game, Zach. What's the next game?
Cincinnati against Purdue, a 9-8 matchup. You know, it's one of those toss-up games. You never really know.
All right. You know what? Instead of doing Let's just go through some like potential. Stick with the Midwest region. Any teams to watch out for? Any teams that you think might be able to sneak into the Sweet 16, Elite Eight, maybe even the Final Four? Zach, we'll start with you.
All right, Adam. One of my sleepers for this round, or for this bracket, I should say, is I know. Thank you, Umar. Indiana, I have going to the I have Indiana going to the Sweet 16, defeating Kansas in the second round.
Ooh.
Adam, you know, Kansas, year
a lot of people who like Kansas this year.
Year after year, they disappoint. Year after year, Kansas disappoints me. I'm not sticking with them again. Bill Self just not get it done in the postseason. And I think
that's not true.
This year he's not. So I'm going to be taking him in the second round. And you have two guys.
Hold on, wait. So what did you say?
I have Indiana getting to the Sweet 16.
Not the Elite Eight?
No, Notre Dame will beat them there.
That's my team, Notre Dame. I like Notre Dame a lot. If Notre Dame was not in Kentucky's bracket, they could be a Final Four team.
Yeah.
Huge victories this year. One of the better, more well-rounded teams. Probably one of the better teams coming out of their conference this year. Some very impressive victories. Including their most recent win over a tough North Carolina team in the ACC championship game.
Virginia, too. Don't forget about Virginia that they beat.
Right, well, Virginia, we'll talk a little later. Yeah, that was a big thing. Oh, yeah.
UNC to get to the ACC championship.
When?
It's a tournament, the ACC title.
Not according to this schedule.
Oh, they did. It's true.
Notre Dame?
Yeah.
They did Duke in North Carolina.
Oh, all right. Well,
Duke win is just as impressive, I would say.
Very good. Anyway,
that was a 10-point victory, 8 points over North Carolina.
Probably more impressive.
this year. Their three losses this year, one against Syracuse, kind of a fluke game. One 30-point loss against Duke at Cameron. They're obviously not going to have to go to Cameron anytime soon. A tough road loss in Pittsburgh and a 6-point loss against Virginia. So they've had a tough schedule. I think the ACC is pretty good this year, but I really like Notre Dame coming out and actually making the Elite Eight. I guess you also have them making the Elite Eight. But, yeah, like I have them beating Kansas, I believe. And actually, Wichita, I keep going back between Notre Dame or Wichita State and knocking off Kansas. But I do not have Kansas in either of my brackets going to the Sweet 16. Or the Elite Eight, sorry.
So that's fascinating, though, you guys. I really agree with the Notre Dame situation we got going on here. But one thing I will say is that I'm not sold on Indiana. And let me tell you one big stat why.
Why?
Indiana, 9-9 conference record, 2-7 against top 25 teams, 5-7 in their last 12.
Inconsistent.
All three of those things, I think, point against Indiana. And I like Wichita State. Wichita State is actually one of my teams that I think might even advance, even not just past the Indiana game.
They have the seniors in the backcourt, that's for sure.
Look, the thing is that, you know. Yeah.
You can tell we're really up to this stuff.
As far as some upsets, I like the 12 and the 13 in the three, and I have Valparaiso beating Maryland.
No.
Yeah.
Let's be real.
Valparaiso, I'm telling you.
Maryland, first of all, shouldn't have even been the fourth spot in this bracket. Maryland deserves to be a really high-ranked team. I think they're one of the better teams out there in the NCAA tournament. They beat. Yeah, they have had incredible wins. Look at their most recent wins that they just had. It's absolutely sensational, Maryland. If you look at their recent schedule.
I mean, they beat Wisconsin.
Maryland's beating some really tough opponents. I don't think that's something you could buy into. I think Maryland had a disservice being at number four. They're dangerously good for a four seed. And also the Valparaiso, I don't even know how to pronounce that.
Valparaiso,
they've never even faced a top 25 team this season. They're going to have their hands full when they come to
But they have a matchup nightmare in Alex Peters, one of the more underrated small school players you'll see. He's going to cause some problems.
Yes.
And if he's hitting his three-pointers, anything can happen. So I like Valparaiso, whatever, beating Maryland and Buffalo beating West Virginia. Anyway, I have Kentucky going in the Final Four for Miss Region. Whomever do you have?
Kentucky.
Zach?
Kentucky.
All right, let's move on. Let's go down to the West Region. Or I guess let's go west, the West Region.
hey!
Umar, we'll start with you. What, any... Zach, we'll start with you.
Adam, like you in the Midwest bracket, I have the 12th and 13th seed pulling upsets in this round. In this bracket, it's Wofford and Harvard.
Wofford?
Yes, Wofford. I like my waffle. Don't know what it's doing.
You have Harvard over UNC.
That's right.
I have UNC going to the Elite Eight.
Adam, you know what? UNC.
In one
way. You know what? They finished the season great. They have some injury concerns.
Do they?
I don't know. I think so.
I thought they were, all good and healthy now.
Well, they lost Notre Dame. That wasn't good for me.
But they beat Virginia right before that.
Did they?
Yeah.
Well, they're 7-5 their last 12 games. So, just like Hoover's out with Indiana.
Yeah, but I think they're,
like
7 out of 8 and 7-1 their last 8 games.
You know what? I look at the last 12. I don't look at the last 8. All right, anyway.
I don't know what that's for now, but yeah, continue.
Anyway, I got Harvard and Wofford. I also have the 11th team Mississippi winning this round, but I have three upsets there. You know what? One thing in this bracket, I don't love Wisconsin, which other people do. I don't think Wisconsin is going to go far in this bracket. I am losing in the second round to Oregon.
All right, just to correct myself, in their last 8 games, they went North Carolina's on 6-2. They're one loss to Duke and one loss to Notre Dame, but they beat Virginia, they beat Louisville, they had an 18-point win against Boston College, and they destroyed Georgia Tech and a pretty solid win at Miami. So I think they're on the up and coming. I think they're on the rise. I like North Carolina actually beating Wisconsin in the Sweet 16 against the Elite Eight. And then I have Arizona beating North Carolina to get to the Final Four.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's you have who beating
Arizona.
Okay. So in the West bracket, I like what you guys picked there. All right. And I actually have, Wisconsin, North Carolina. I like Baylor in Arizona.
The one before me, yes. Those are better teams.
And I like Wisconsin and Baylor, and then Baylor.
Well, Baylor. That's a good pick.
I wish I could back it up.
All right, and the East.
Region, who do you have going to the Final Four?
Arizona.
Baylor.
Arizona.
No one picking Wisconsin there. That's probably a mistake on our part. But
I really don't think so.
All right. Let's go back east. Villanova and Virginia. Very highly contested region. A lot of people are going different ways here. A lot of potential sleepers. Some people like NC State. Some people like Louisville, which I'm not a huge fan of. I personally like Providence and Michigan State. This is a very competitive bracket. Very tight, 1-8. Zach, who do you got in the East?
Am I in Virginia? I do like Michigan State winning their first game, but I think they're going to lose to Virginia in the second round. But one team I have going pretty far, Northern Iowa. You know, I remember Farouk Manesh from many years ago, and for some reason I was inspired to pick them to take down Villanova in the round of 16, get to Elite Eight, lose to Virginia there. That's why I have Virginia going to the Final Four. But look at Northern Iowa, 11-1 the last 12 games.
They have no quality wins except for one, which is up.
Exactly. That's a huge win.
Yeah, but they I don't know. I think they only have one for 3 years. All right, that's sidebar. I have two brackets. Is that a mistake? Should I just do one bracket?
One bracket.
But I'm in two different pools, and you want to split. You want to help
bracket.
Your opposite.
I totally disagree, because if you have that one bracket and you're the most right, you really pull it in.
Yeah, well, I'd rather. But that's rare.
If you have
rare.
Two brackets in one thing, I would say obviously it's different. But
no, that's
if you only have one bracket, if you have two different brackets in two different pools.
Why? Wouldn't it be the same?
Because it just shows that you stick it to your gut. You're not doubting yourself.
I am doubting myself. I have no idea what you're talking about. I'm still not sure to pick in this bracket. Like I said, I actually like Michigan State matching up with Virginia. And I also like Providence beating Oklahoma in the round of 32. So I actually have a Michigan State-Providence matchup in the Sweet 16. It's 6-7. And then I have Villanova taking on, I don't remember, either Louisville or Northern Iowa. But I have Villanova getting to the Elite Eight, facing off against Michigan State, and I have Villanova moving on to the Final Four.
Who is that facing? So the East is actually the biggest, I guess, wild card that I'm going off of.
Yeah.
And I actually have this. This is what people are really going to disagree with this, obviously.
Are they?
I actually have a bottom 8 team going to the Final Four in this bracket.
Wait, let me guess.
Who is it? Who do you think it is?
What the hell?
I think it's...
You're going to be wrong, whoever it is.
Absolutely not.
I think it's Georgia.
Nope.
LSU?
I think LSU.
What?
No. Yes, it is 100. Let me tell you why.
It's their last 12 games.
Let me tell you why. This is the analysis that you're going to get at E&C Sports, why LSU is going to make it, okay? Get ready for this.
Okay.
When you take a team that's been through 5 overtimes and lost to the undefeated Kentucky by 2 points,
yeah.
Kentucky's smallest margin of victory all year, and you pair that with just incredible rebounders and consistent scorers that they have, I think you get a Cinderella team. And I think this is the one team in the entire bracket that could do it. And it's fair to make an argument. They've had some bad losses.
Yeah.
But there's a reason they're on my Cinderella list.
Is there?
Yeah. Sophomores Jarrell Martin and Jordan McKee. They're a dual threat.
McKee. It's M-I-C-K-E-Y.
Yeah.
M-O-U-S-H. McKee.
Dude, look at Martin averages, 17 points and 9 rebounds?
17.9,
Okay, 17 points and 9 rebounds.
than McKee averaged 16 and 10. That's a dominant
3.6 blocks.
I know. It's a dominant big man duo.
But why is their point differential only less than 6?
Because they've had terrible losses and it's really tight. Like it's unbelievable. Like, if it wasn't for a few possessions in each game, they could have a record that's at least 6 or 7 games better than it is right now.
All right. You know what? Interesting pick. I didn't think about that, but I have to look at LSU a little bit more tonight.
Nice.
I do like NC State, though. That would be an interesting first-round matchup there, right?
That's going to be a good matchup.
So I have Villanova. Zach has Virginia. And Virginia. Oh, you have LSU.
LSU.
All right. Final region, the South, featuring Duke, Gonzaga, Iowa State, a lot of people like. Not many like Georgetown. I actually had Georgetown losing to Eastern and Washington.
Whoa.
I think.
St. John.
St. John's playing San Diego State in a pretty good game. I have to go either way, but I don't really see Duke losing to either of those teams.
No.
All right, Zach, who do you have in the East or
the
South?
I got Iowa State. You know,
really?
I like those Cyclones.
Wow. All right.
Yeah, I've been beating Duke in the Elite Eight. But, you know, this is – I always have one bracket where I always – it's very, like, chalk, as they say. This is my bracket. Only outside I really have is UCLA beating SMU. So, yeah, this is really pretty much my chalk bracket, but in the end, I do have Iowa State getting the Final Four.
I have Duke getting there, beating Iowa State in the Elite Eight. Gonzaga's not getting a lot of love, although they haven't had much success in the tournament, I guess that's what you get. But
yeah.
Some people are saying it's one of the better Gonzaga teams in recent memory, so it'll be interesting.
You think it's better than the Adam Morrison like Gonzaga team?
Oh my god, where is that guy?
He just turned 30, I think.
Wow.
Sort of LeBron, didn't he? But I mean you can't really say I have any upsets here. I have Duke versus Iowa State in the Elite Eight. Again, I like Eastern Washington over Georgetown. I don't like Austin over Utah. I like Utah in that game. I don't really – nothing too special about that one. So
I am exactly with your guys. I have Duke going up against Iowa State. I had Duke winning it and Duke going to the Final Four.
All right, so Zach's Final Four is Kentucky.
And Arizona, Virginia, and
Iowa State. Boomers is Kentucky, Arizona.
No, Baylor.
Sorry.
LSU.
Duke. And Duke.
A wild card.
And I have, I'm pretty boring, I have Kentucky, Arizona, Villanova, and Duke.
3-1 seeds.
And I have Villanova playing Kentucky in the finals, and Kentucky.
Oh. Villanova?
Wait, sorry. I have Kentucky versus Duke. Depends on the bracket I'm looking at. I have Kentucky facing either Duke or Villanova.
And Kentucky winning.
Yes.
Boomer?
That's going to be the match between Duke and Kentucky. I know it's not sexy, but it's very...
It is very sexy.
I want to see Jahlil Okafor and Karl Anthony Towns just going to town with one another. That's going to be a really...
I have a feeling Duke's kind of loose. I just don't know the who. Like early. I don't know.
Yeah. I have Kentucky finishing off a perfect season going against Duke.
I'm the one person who doesn't have them going all the way and losing Arizona. Virginia being Iowa State and Arizona coming out on top.
I don't think anyone can call it here.
Arizona being. Wait, Kentucky. Wait, what?
Arizona beating Kentucky.
What? That's ridiculous.
Right.
That's unbelievable. Yeah. Anything to back that up. Tell me why you want Arizona.
Yeah, why?
I just don't think they're going to be perfect. I think they're bound to lose.
They're the best. They're better than the next five.
Last year they got lucky. This year they're going to get unlucky. So
they do. They weren't lucky. Their athletic prowess and their overall skills were shining last year. And that's what showed. And now they're even more skillful and more athletic.
Yeah. No, I just don't see it happening.
And they have the senior leader. Well, they have the veteran leadership in the Harrison twins.
Look, you think I'm right? You think I'm wrong?
I think
call
no, I
right
think you're
now.
Wrong.
Call
oh.
them right now. Or argue. Yeah. I probably will. I might be wrong, but you know what? There's a pretty good chance I won't be.
All right. So, did you say your final name?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. So, all right. So, that's our NCAA March Madness preview.
Good luck.
Hopefully, we hope it was something. That's probably not. And let's
go to the NBA. We've had some interesting discussions. I know we had some feedback last show that they want more NBA talk, which I, I'm more than happy to comply with that request. Mm-hmm. The NBA is probably in its peak right now in terms of popularity and entertainment. Very, very exciting postseason coming up. A lot of interesting storylines. You got, obviously, LeBron in Cleveland. You got Derrick Rose possibly returning in time in the playoffs for the Bulls. You got the red-hot Atlanta Hawks who do not lose and are coached by the former student of Mr. Popovich, who is still coaching the Spurs in the West. And then you have the Steph Curry and Klay Thompson-led Warriors. Memphis Grizzlies with a hard-nosed defense. You've got a lot to be excited about for this postseason. I cannot wait. The West is going to be out of control. One versus eight is going to be a great – I don't know. They're all going to be six- or seven-game series, I have a feeling. It's going to be so exciting. I cannot wait. When does it start, Zach? Next month, I guess?
Yeah, mid-April.
I'm so excited. Umer, any initial thoughts on the upcoming postseason? Just a general question.
You know what? I think I agree with you completely. I think it's going to be really exciting and fun.
All right.
Well, tonight I have a huge matchup for those of you who like the NBA and like watching games that don't maybe go with your favorite team. Two best teams in the NBA, the Atlanta Hawks and the Golden State Warriors going at it. Going at it right now with Golden State. Currently the Warriors are up 9.
Klay Thompson's out, too.
42-33, yeah. So they're off to a good start.
I'm telling you, the Hawks are overrated. Or not. The Hawks are really, they're overrated. I don't know why people are popping. They're playing in a terrible Eastern Conference. Half the team, more than half the teams are under 500.
Yeah, you can tell, I'm just looking at the box score. Hawks are shooting really poorly tonight, 12-31, whereas the Warriors are 18 of 30.
They don't lose at home. They're 30-2 at home.
But these statistics will average out. It'll end up being a close game. Both teams are Warriors have 9 turnovers already, and then it's only midway.
And they're
the second
still
quarter.
Up by 10.
Yeah, because they're shooting 60%, but that number's going to go down. Harrison Barnes usually is in 5 or 6 in the first quarter, with Aguadala 4 of 6. I mean, this could be a finals preview. I don't know. I mean, I've said many times I like the Hawks. I think the Hawks will get to the Eastern Conference Finals, and they'll probably end up playing a cap. There's going to be amazing series, I think.
You know what really bothers me, Adam, is the disparity between the East and the West in the NBA. It just bothers me. You know what? In every other sport, it's very fair between.
Yeah, why isn't it grown closer together?
And lately, it's just been all West. And it's been, if you're the Phoenix Suns or you're the New Orleans Hornets, you're frustrated right now because you're over 500 and yet you're out of the playoff picture. Whereas in the East, the bottom three teams are at or below 500 in the East, Milwaukee, Miami, and Boston. Boston's 7 games under 500 and right out of the 8th seed. That's just insane to me.
All right, well, let me ask you. Would you be opposed to a postseason adjustment?
Not at all.
Where the best 16 teams
regardless
make the playoffs?
Not at all. I would totally be down.
What about something kind of like what the NHL does? Where the top two teams in each division make it, and then the remaining positions we fill by the best record.
Absolutely. I mean, you look at the NBA,
Doesn't that take away the rivalry?
The NBA, the NBA doesn't have any rivalry. You only play teams in your division 4 times. In every other sport, you play your teams in the division at least 6 or more times. Baseball, you play your team in your division 18 or 19 times. Hockey, it's 6 times.
I didn't know that. You only find that on an easy sport.
NBA, the amount of times you play the team in your division is nothing. So your schedule is so much more diverse in that way because you play every team in the West twice if you're in the East. You play every team in the other conference at least 2 or 3 times. Oh, I'm sorry, other divisions. At least 2 or 3 times. So the games in your division mean nothing. They mean nothing. You should be matched up with everybody. It should be 32 teams, 1 standing, the top 16 make it.
All right, so
maybe if they play more division games, I would be more against that. But because the division games will be nothing relative to the whole schedule, I think they should put it all together.
So what about – I don't even understand why there are 3 divisions in each conference. What about making 2 divisions in each conference?
Right.
Top 2 teams in each – well, maybe top three.
I don't know if that affects the disparity. Again, it's just the East. It's the East versus the West. It's not division against division. The whole East.
Well, why do you think that is? Why is disparity?
I don't know. I mean, you have to date back. When was the East significantly better than the West?
Oh, we're talking about
the depth, right? I mean, I think there's some more talent in the West. I mean, just look at
why.
Why is there more talent in the West?
Because they're smarter franchises. They're younger. They're typically younger management, and the younger management are better at drafting players, whereas the Knicks take Frederick Weiss from France. And
like, who is on Boston right now that you want to watch?
No, I like Isaiah Thomas is a pretty exciting player. I hope
but he's not like a superstar. You look at New Orleans Hornets, Anthony Davis. He jumps out of the pace, but they're out in the playoffs right now.
Look at the teams that are in the playoffs. Golden State, before they got Curry, was a bad team. Memphis struggled mightily in the beginning of the century. Houston, when they had the Yao Ming, Tracy McGrady, were okay. Portland was a bad team. Dallas, I guess, was the Clippers were awful. So these are teams that were terrible, and then they were able to recover and just do well. Whereas I guess in the East, it's, I don't know.
Well, let's look into this. Let's check out. Let's just look at the 2002-2003 regular season. even then, it was still a little close.
My favorite, yeah.
But 2001-2002. This is how far it goes back on ESPN. Yeah, about the same.
Sure.
But still more 50-win teams in the West here. You got five. Was it two? So it's been there. It's an interesting issue. I mean, I don't know if it's an issue. I don't think it really affects anything at the end of the day. Obviously, it's going to affect the New Orleans fans or the Phoenix fans when they're not in the playoffs. But, I mean, at this point, you can't really do anything unless they change. Adam Silver is one of the more progressive commissioners, so maybe he will make a change.
Yes.
Hopefully.
And speaking of change, I mean, because we were talking about college basketball. I mean, people have been talking about this all year, but I've been personally talking about this for years since I went to college. The whole idea of this 35-second shot clock is just out of control. I mean, it slows down the game so much in college. The women only play 35 seconds. They play 30. In high school, they play 30. Why 35 in college? I have no idea. That makes no sense. It should be 30, if not lower. Just a sidebar on that. But yes, with the NBA. They need to. I mean, there's nothing they can do at this point. They just have to wait and hope over time the issues get stronger. If not, they can reconfigure the conference.
Also, it kind of takes away from the playoffs because in the playoffs, especially for the East, it's really just until you get to the conference.
Right.
Who
wants to watch under 500 team play Atlanta? Those series. I mean, yeah, they. I'm sure they'll be an upset here or there with a bad team being considered a bad team being a good team, but. People aren't going to watch those series as much. They're going to watch the series out west. Those are the teams that catch your attention.
Interesting stat. Since 2006-2007 season, there has been at least one sub-500 team making the playoffs out of the Eastern Conference. So,
interesting.
All right. Let's do a hypothetical. I know I've talked about this off the air. I'm going to give you three players to include on your franchise and to build your franchise for the next 5 years. They are Steph Curry, James Harden, and Russell Westbrook. Who do you take? Umar, you can start with you.
Well, I think the guy able to shoot, distribute, young. I mean, you can say that about him or
James Harden.
You could say James Harden. I'm going with Steph Curry. Russell Westbrook doesn't have the shooting ability of Curry. He's more of a penetrator. His also his passing ability is not on par with Curry's passing ability.
Have you seen anyone go coast to coast as fast as Westbrook?
No, Westbrook is a freak. He's probably the most athletic guy in the NBA.
But I just don't like him shooting. His shot is just not as sharp.
Sometimes not wide, sometimes not great decisions. I go Curry. Adam?
It's so hard. I guess. I only pick Curry because he's just a more pure shooter than Harden. Harden, because I've had him on fantasy the last couple of years, he has his off nights. I'm sure Curry has his off nights too. But Curry, he's much more serviceable.
Well, we continue. I'm going to hold off until we get into the podcast part of the show, just to hold your attention.
And now we're on the podcast.
I don't know. I think the most exciting player to watch is Westbrook.
Yeah.
I think if I wanted to win a championship, I'd probably go with Curry.
Yeah.
But Harden's every team he goes on, he makes it better by, you know, and he's like a 20. He's like a 25-5 guy.
I think Curry has way more health in Golden State than Harden has in Houston right now.
Right. I can say the same thing with Wade.
So
you're making a case for Harden.
Yeah, but I think from the
what about Westbrook?
From the skill set, Oklahoma City's not. They're not even the playoff fun right now.
Yeah, they are.
No, they're. Yeah. What are they? Like three,
Right now, Harden's averaging.
They're in the playoffs.
By the way, he was born in '89.
Barely.
Because they've been playing well.
Harden's averaging 27.67.
27.67.
What field goal percentage?
Because Harden's a guy, I feel like he gets 50% of his points on the free throw line because he just gets a lot of contact down there. Curry's a guy who can just shoot lights out. I don't think he gets stuff about Curry. And Steph Curry plays better defense than Harden by a lot. Harden is not a good defensive player. Curry is great at defense.
Harden's about 46% shooter.
Pretty impressive. That's pretty impressive. I would take any of those guys, but I guess if I had to pick one, it would be Curry by a hair.
And you know what? The Knicks could have had him, but it was by a hair that they didn't get him.
So the Timberwolves could have had him, but they instead took Johnny Flynn and Ricky Rubio. They had two picks that year. Knicks. Well, you know what? At least we're going to have a top three pick.
Well, they better
Mudlay, Karl Towns, or...
I don't think it should be Mudlay because I don't think he'll fit in with the offense that's Knicks.
I don't
need a point guard that can penetrate and all this stuff. They need a
point guard
who can
shoot.
That's why you got to know we're calling Anthony Towns.
Over
Okafor?
I don't know. Karl Anthony Towns could be the more risky of three.
Look, Okafor's offensive abilities are going to be unmatched.
Have you seen Mudlay play in China? I can see him being like one of the guys you're talking about right now.
You gotta have you need a big. The big guys are commodities in the NBA right now. Besides Anthony Davis, can you name another big guy who's like very, very dominant right now?
Marc Gasol.
Ah, 16 points. All right. So Marc Gasol and maybe you can name a lot of guards. We just named three guards right now in terms of big-time franchise players. If you could get that big guy, like Okafor or Towns, I think you got to get that. And that's what the Knicks need. They need that big presence inside. I don't think it's even debatable. I'd go for a big guy. I'd go Towns, then Okafor, and then if they strike out everyone, they can get a guard.
I don't know. I wish we had more than – I wish we had two lottery picks. I really like Mudlay a lot. It's kind of – but – I don't know, depends what pick we go. We might end up with better end up in the top three. That's all I can say. I'll be sorry number four.
Possible. They can
race right now.
They're tied with Minnesota for the worst records and only two games ahead of Philly for the
game and a half.
Will be a third worst.
Game and a half.
Yeah.
Half.
Oh my God. Please.
So,
I don't want the fourth. I'll take the third pick. I don't want the fourth pick.
You know. The first three are all by lottery ball. So they could, if they're the third worst team, they could potentially fall sixth. Potentially.
How many
for
lottery ball?
They only pick three lottery balls. And after that, it's the worst record going forward.
Is it really?
Yeah.
No, I don't think so. Not
I thought they just do lottery balls for all 15.
No,
showing off thing. Because then you'll know.
No, but when I do it on the ESPN like lottery machine, you just random, like all of them.
How it works, I'm 99% sure of this. How it works is they only pick the first three picks of our system. Because then it could get to, God forbid, it could happen. The worst team could get the 15th pick. It's like.
I thought it was like a top.
They pick the first three balls, and then it's the worst record going forward. I'm 99%.
We're going to look that up. Steph was going to look that up right now. That's pretty important. I'm going to tell you the case while we're looking this up. The case for Towns over Okafor, because we're getting a lot of feedback about that right now,
Is
that Okafor is an offensive presence, but Towns is a defensive presence, and the Knicks have Carmelo Anthony. So I think you need more of the defensive presence down low that will mature in Towns as opposed to Okafor, who is lacking in the defensive department and is more offense. So purely defense over offense, you got to go with Carl Anthony Towns.
Only the top three picks are decided by the lottery.
Look. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Is that 100% true?
Yes.
Pistons are number 8, and now they're...
They're right. Always 4 on this one.
That's... Oh, my God.
Now they're 5.
No, now they're... See, now the Pistons
are...
Oh, okay. Oh, okay. Wait, 1?
Sixers get 2 picks?
No, this is a big
wow.
Guys, if you guys figure this out, you
I don't want the. Oh my God, we better end up in the top three. I'm so pissed.
We are.
D'Angelo Russell.
Well,
we haven't even talked about him. He's on Ohio State. He's probably going to lose in the first round.
I am going to the top 4. The Cyclones?
No.
Oh,
Ohio.
State. Oh, Ohio State. Okay, it's okay. Iowa.
Look at last year's NBA draft. I think that we'll get to the bottom of it that way. All
right, whatever. I believe. Let's trust
it's
back.
It's on Wikipedia. Wikipedia is always accurate.
Mm. All right, I trust that.
Trust me, I watched it.
All right, so that was our little NBA talk. I know we're going to try to give you a little bit more NBA in the future. Quickly, Rangers and the NHL, what's the best team?
Yeah, they lost tonight, 1-0. Former Ranger Brad Richards scoring the game-winning and only goal. Talbot played great, but Scott Darling was a little bit better. 25 saves. I'm
worried about Martin St. Louis off on the shelf right
you
now.
You know, he's old. I think he needs the rest.
Now that changed the lines, though.
I don't want to
be cold going into the playoffs.
No, I think they were something that's due for a loss.
This just in.
Loss.
According to Wikipedia, it looks like Zach is right.
Why?
The three picks that are
wrong. Just confirm Zach.
Yeah, Yeah, they lost tonight, but they have just been on such a roll.
They finally lost.
We might have to do a show when Henry comes back and has a bad game. Then what do you do?
You're right. Well, he's not one bad game because he's
terrible. Well, what if he's averaging 3 goals a game? You got to make the playoffs.
He is a slow starter, historically speaking. This could be interesting.
Well, they
could
come
back
more.
In a couple of weeks. Trying to block off a really good team. Is this an overtime? No.
Could be a playoff preview right here. A final preview. All right, so we'll. I forgot to mention. Mets Zach Wheeler out for the season. Big loss to the Mets. He was pretty much slated to be their number 3 guy. Guy you can depend upon, probably a mid-3 CRA type player.
Yeah, but he had a lot of tough issues last year, especially with his pitch count. He would get into he'd have a lot of games where he entered the 5th inning with 90 or even 100 pitches, and he would tax the Mets bullpen. I think that had partially to do with his elbow issue. He actually pitched last year with a tear in his elbow. But it wasn't bad enough.
Really bad timing right
now. No, horrible. Because not only even this year, but it's not all next year, too. Because it's an 18-month process. But thankfully, the Mets have so much depth in starting pitching, it's not that big of a deal.
Well, knock on wood.
They have G, they have Syndergaard, they have Max, they have Montero. They're fine in that.
Any news on Syndergaard in spring training?
He's been okay. He's been pretty good. He's doing fine.
It wasn't that great last year, stat-wise.
No, but that's in Las Vegas, too. So you have to so that you can't, that pitching there versus City Field is completely different. Not only just ballpark-wise, but towards the air.
Well, if Harvey and DeGrom stay healthy, that's probably one of the best ones-twos in baseball.
Absolutely.
So, and Harvey's been great.
Yes, he had a very good start his first time out, okay start his second time, very good his last time. So, I don't know. Is he going to be as dominant as he was 2 years ago? I hope so. I mean, I'm not sure, but I hope so. I hope, obviously, Cologne can continue what he did last year, just eating innings, giving the bullpen a break. But the bullpen is a concern to me. They have a lot of good young pitchers there, but a lot
they're
of
they're going to have to make some moves this year.
So their concerns be more than starting pitching right now. An offense, I think, will be good. I think their offense will be good. I think Wright will bounce back. We won't have a superb year, I don't think. He's already 32, which is scary to me. I can't believe he's 32. But, yeah, he's getting older, but I think he'll have a good bounce back here. David Wright. I think Renningson will be more consistent.
Kadire.
Kadire, he'll be a nice righty, whether he's in the offense or playing first base. I think he could be a nice boost to the offense. So I think the offense and pitching starting to be fine. Both I'm concerned about.
Boomer, the Yankees preview. Oh, I was going to make a comment about the Mets, actually. It's just an interesting stat that Zach Wheeler – since 2005, no pitcher has thrown as many pitches over as few innings as Zach Wheeler.
Yeah, every inning is 20 pitches or more.
It's unbelievable.
That's pretty bad.
He was frustrating to watch last year at some point.
And if you look at his list, it's a
bunch, at least four guys are guys who were promised to get one and then kind of fell off.
Scott Kazmir.
Wheeler, Lincecum, what happened? I think Gilmesh, Scott Kazmir.
I think Tommy John will be good for him. I think Tommy John.
I think it's just a draft.
Yeah.
So on the Yankee standpoint, they're looking great. I feel like they're going to really blossom.
I don't know. I'm following it.
So the Yankees are in a much weaker division this year. Bullpen's a lot more bolstered. I think their offense is going to rebound. Is Boston a little better this year? No, they have no – name one starter on their team. You can't even start it.
Clay Buchholz.
He's their – and what was his ERA last year? It was in the fives.
Really?
Yeah. And that's their number one starter, essentially.
Oh, their offense is good.
They have Porcello and Masterson, some, like, guys who they want to, you know, bank on.
All right. My question is to A-Rod, though. What do you expect from Alex Rodriguez?
Listen, I love Alex Rodriguez this year. I've had a roller coaster ride with emotions with this guy, but I like how he's targeted and people are booing him, and he's just, you know, taking it. I think he's going to be the ace in the hole for the Yankees.
Over 20 home runs?
I think he's going to get about 20 home runs. He's going to get 20 home runs. I think DeSher is not going to do that well. McCann, Bell's final rebound. I think the defense is going to be exceptional. They have the best defense team.
Maybe Gregorius can't hit anything.
Yeah, and he's following up on Derek Jeter, who had literally one of the worst seasons of any hitter.
He's going to be worse last year.
He will not be. Last year, he was terrible, and he was significantly better than Jeter last year. He was like 80 OPS points better than Jeter last year. That shows how terrible Jeter was.
Yeah. All right, well, that's our show.
What are the Jets, the quarterbacks?
Yeah.
So?
All right, the Jets made some moves.
the quarterback, Richard.
They obviously upgraded their team. Revis, Lombardi, Buster, Strand. You still have Marcus Williams. You still have Jude Milliner. The defense is going to be, on paper right now, the top five defense, but it's going to come down to the offense. If Changeli can work with Geno Smith, I mean, they're going to improve. They have to.
Their receiving core is better. Their cornerback is better.
No, it'll be exciting. I'm excited.
Their quarterback is better.
I think Brandon Marshall will be good. I think he's going to be – he actually might be a good locker room guy at this point in his career, just because I think he gets it. He gets it now. He just wants to win. He wants to stay in New York at this point, so I like that trade a lot. Sixth-round pick. It was a great move. And you got Decker. I want another running back in the draft. They're going to have to do some moves in the draft. They need another pass rusher. They probably need a running back and Moffitt to line up for sure. Quarterback, I don't know. I mean, if they love Mariota, you got to go Mariota. But even then, it's going to be a huge problem because he's not going to be ready this year anyway. So
yeah.
Can't say the Jets did not improve. They definitely did. Corners, probably one of the better secondaries in the league at this point. And they got a new safety, too.
Although a big difference between the Jets and the Giants, for example, is that the Jets division got significantly better with the Buffalo Bills with Matt Castle.
New England got worse.
Hardly.
They lost Will Fork. They lost Browner. They lost Revis. They got worse.
Yeah. How about she and Reed coming to the New York Giants? The Giants are going to get Cruz back. Marine is now there. They re-signed JPP. They're going to be a new defensive coordinator. The Cowboys are going to be weaker next year. And the Eagles, I don't know what the Eagles have done.
Wow, that'll be interesting.
A lot of question marks. I think the Giants have this division.
AFC East and NFC East, probably the two most intriguing divisions next year, at least the beginning of next year with all the moves they've been making. All right, that's our show for this evening. 11:43 Eastern time in the PM right now. And we will see you. We'll try to do a show soon. Maybe a little March Madness
baseball season
recap, a little baseball season preview. Maybe working remotely. We'll see. we'll definitely try to get a baseball season preview in there. Any questions? Post on our Twitter page, and remember to follow us ADD Sports Live on Twitter. Have a good night, everyone.
Come up to Zog Sports for our playoff game.
Yeah, 12-2.
A week from Sunday.
We're athletes, too. Good night.
I like that. 12-2, we're athletes.